Very happy now to bring in Joby O'Gwynn, and he's going to climb to the top of Mount Everest. Normally, that would be the feat of a lifetime, but that ain't enough. Then he's going to jump off and fly down. What the hell, Joby?
Well, I've been getting that a lot lately, but, you know, this is what I do, and this is something I've been training for and planning for several years, and got great people, a great team, and great partners with Discovery Channel to help us pull it all off.
Now, you got into this as a kid, as a mountain climber just at first, right? I mean, as a very, very young, accomplished guy.
Yeah, I started climbing when I was pretty young. I grew up in Louisiana. I traveled a lot. I had some great opportunities to travel and got into climbing, you know, when I was around 18, and have been doing it ever since.
Now, when you got to the top, when was the first, I mean, when you get to the top, you got to, what goes up must come down. When you first saw the wingsuit, when did it pop into your head, like, that would be a much more fun way to come down?
That's pretty much exactly what I thought. I would say around 2007, I saw in person my first wingsuit and saw, you know, what it could do, and started learning to base jump and then got into wingsuiting immediately because I could see that you could use that technology for a real practical adventure like what we're about to do with Discovery Channel on Everest.
Now, I know I've interviewed guys who've gone to the top of Everest before in the normal way, and that's hard enough because I know where base camp is set up is usually higher than most mountains are. So it takes a huge team. The weather can be so unpredictable. Does everything have to go just right, or you're getting to the top and screw it, you're jumping off and flying down no matter what?
Well, no, I mean, you know, it's very calculated, and, you know, I would say this, that if it's good enough to climb to the summit, it should be good enough to jump. And so that's really what I'm counting on. And I can perform, you know, the flight in a pretty wide variety of conditions, you know, even very windy to zero wind. So, you know, the real key is getting up there and getting ready and just being a little bit lucky with the weather.
Speaking of Joby O'Gwynn, who's going to jump off the top of Mount Everest in May, you're going to watch it on the Discovery Channel. I know you've been to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro as well, and that's no small feat to climb to that mountainous mountain. What are some of the things, personality-wise? Because, I mean, you're no stranger to Everest, but, you know, are there mountains besides Everest that are tougher or more dangerous, or is it pretty much Everest that's the biggest beast because of its height?
Well, Everest, because of its height, you know, is incredibly difficult. But the mountain lends itself very well to, you know, putting in a lot of fixed ropes and other things that allow climbers every year to get up there. But that makes a big difference in that the infrastructure on Everest, you know, is pretty substantial because you have a lot more climbers that attempt it every year. But there are harder other mountains to climb. I mean, I've climbed a number of other peaks in the Himalayas very, you know, right next to Everest, very close to Everest. One in particular called Makalu, which is the fifth highest mountain in the world. It's not that much shorter than Everest. It's, you know, 28,000 feet, so it's about 1,000 feet shorter. But much more technical and much more dangerous and much, you know, much more difficult to do. And you don't see hardly anybody over there, just only the, you know, more serious professional climbers. So, you know, Everest has its own challenges, and we'll face a lot of challenges there. But, you know, I have a lot of faith in my training and my team and my Discovery team.
Now, I saw some quotes from an interview you did on CNN, and to paraphrase more or less, you say, you know, I'm not afraid to die, but I am still very, very scared. So I think that's an interesting concept, but that's what keeps you going, right? If you don't have fear, then you're going to do something dumb, right?
Oh, sure. You know, I think CNN took it a little out of context there. In fact, I am, you know, I'm not afraid to die, so to speak, and I hope nobody is. You know, that's not something that people should be sitting around worrying about, but I do, you know, I do like my life. I have a beautiful wife. I have a great house here in Southern California. I'm happy and doing well. And I, you know, having that fear of losing your life is a good thing when you're operating in dangerous environments like that. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with that, with having that fear. No, everybody should. And I certainly will be, you know, I'll be scared and worried about things when I'm up there, but I also have faith in my training and what, you know, what I'm doing. You know, I have, this is a huge opportunity for me that in some ways I thought I might not ever have. And so, you know, to have it, you know, with Discovery Channel, to be able to have the opportunity to do it and live the dream that I've been thinking about for so long and then share it with the world live on Discovery Channel is a pretty amazing thing. So I feel pretty humbled and happy just to have the opportunity.
That's the voice of Joby O'Gwynn. A couple more questions for Joby. And you've done this before. I mean, you flew all the way around Matterhorn, or as I like to call it, Mont Blanc. You flew all the way around Matterhorn. And what were some of the lessons that you learned in that descent that you can use in Everest, you think?
Well, you know, a lot of those flights, like in the Matterhorn or the Eiger, a lot of the stuff for years, we trained, you know, jumping off of mountains in the Swiss Alps, you know, really big alpine peaks that are similar in conditions and shape as to, you know, to Everest or bigger mountains in the Himalayas. And so those types of flights and testing different types of wingsuits and equipment, you know, landing at higher altitudes, all of that stuff was just, you know, really training for what I'm about to do now. So it makes a huge difference to have, you know, years of advanced training like that going into a project like what we're doing on Everest.
You mentioned the Eiger. It made me think of the Eiger sanction when George Kennedy tried to hand Clint Eastwood the rope, but he turned out to be a bad guy. Did you ever see that movie?
Oh, yeah, it's one of my favorites.
All right, good. I would think that you had. A couple more questions for Joby. The wingsuit in of itself, it looks like a dream. I mean, since caveman days, we've all wanted to fly, and we just dream of such a thing. The closest we get is sitting in a plane, more or less, or jumping out of a plane. But you actually do get to fly. How hard is that to learn? Because it looks so easy, and I know it's not.
Yeah, you're right. It's really, you know, we do make it look easy, and it is easy once you have years and years of training. It does take years to do, you know, on a high level especially. But you start off skydiving, and you do hundreds and hundreds of skydives. Then you learn to base jump, and there's a process to that where you jump off bridges and out of hot air balloons, and then finally, you know, an actual mountain cliff face. And then you come back later and you start learning to skydive the wingsuit and learning to fly the different types of suits. And then you kind of put it all together to the point where you're actually jumping off, you know, cliff faces or mountains with the wingsuit. So it's a really long process. And I have watched people, unfortunately, perish because they wanted to try the process too fast. They wanted to do, you know, like what I and me and some of my, you know, professional friends do. They wanted to do it quicker than what it's possible to do. And so they, you know, a lot of people have problems with that. So the key is to be very patient with it. And I've been doing it for over 8 years and, you know, I'm still learning stuff on a daily basis. So it's important with something that is so high speed, like wingsuit flying, where everything goes down really, really fast, to be able to take the right approach to it.
Well, it must be very traumatic to witness tragic events like that. What about you with all those jumping out of planes? I mean, how many times have you gone to your reserve chute? Can you share with us a moment of peril where you thought, I think this might be it?
Well, you know, there's a big difference in skydiving. I haven't actually pulled my reserve while I'm skydiving, and I've probably got 1,000 skydives. So, you know, there's something to be said for that. But base jumping is very different, you know, and what I'll use on Everest is definitely, you know, the more extreme version of things because you just have the one big parachute. And they actually work better than skydiving equipment anyway. But I've had moments where I can definitely say, you know, I thought maybe this was it. I definitely tried on my 5th wingsuit base jump ever in Switzerland. I jumped off of a cliff face and tried to fly all the way across the valley. And I thought I was doing pretty good until I noticed that my altitude was a little lower than I thought. And I tried to make it over some power lines. And I made it over the power lines, but just barely. And I barely got the chute open. And I only had the chute open for maybe a second or two before I hit the ground. Wow. Really, really hard. So it was a good lesson to learn right at the beginning that, you know, it has to go down. You have to be conservative with it, and you have to be patient with it, and you can't get too aggressive. You have to know your limits as well, you know, and build some experience. And so luckily I learned that lesson the easy way, and since then I've been, you know, flying great, but definitely being on the conservative end of things most of the time.
Okay, so now in May, when you go off Everest and you're going to have cameras strapped to you, and the Discovery Channel is in, you know, countries all over the world, you're doing, when you say fly across the valley, that's a fantasy for most human beings. And this is why we want to see what you see. Are you afraid that maybe the camera equipment might bog you down? Is it all aerodynamic? I'm sure. I mean, you seem really on the ball. Everything's ship shape.
Yeah, you know, we've been testing equipment for a long time, especially the cameras, you know, and the placement of the cameras. They're very small, you know, they're tiny, even they're live, and they can do quite a lot. The technology's amazing. It, you know, it's very lightweight. It doesn't affect the, you know, the airspeed or the aerodynamics of the suit in any way. It just really, you know, what we usually do, even when we're training, especially for training, is we might fly with four or five cameras on, you know, so you have different angles, and you can go back at the footage and take a look and see what you're doing right or what you're doing wrong. Every flight is always a little bit different, and you can learn from every flight. And so, you know, that's part of what Discovery Channel is all about, is showcasing and people learning and seeing things, I think, that they wouldn't normally get to see in their normal life. And this is certainly one of those things. And so having those cameras, you know, strapped on, and, or I should say built into the suit and the helmet and things, you know, people will be able to see what I see. And I think that will be pretty awesome for people.
That'll be in May on the Discovery Channel in over 200 countries and territories. And after speaking with you, yeah, I have a lot more confidence in you being safe, so we'll knock on wood. This doesn't seem like some sort of Snake River, Evel Knievel type of thing. So we're all looking forward to seeing what it looks like. I mean, it's almost Neil Armstrong-ish if you're able to pull this off. So best of luck, and we'd love to have you on after it's all over.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it, and I'd be happy to stop by when we're finished.
Great. Best of luck. Joby O'Gwynn, he's going to jump off Mount Everest after he climbs up and fly down. No big whoop. Come on back.